Hi, I am Frank Ferris, also known as Elysius, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan Zelo.
I'm Dave, a.k.a. Dessert.
Welcome to episode 57 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Well, thank you, Trey. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm all right. Hey, later in the show, we're going to have an interview with Frank Perez, who is the author and creator of Battle of the Builds, version 1.17.
Yeah, actually, I think he's even had another version or so after that. He's got Vampire Hack Pack.
In addiction to those.
I'm addicted to his works.
In addition, he also... I think he's working on a new module called Faithless, so we'll get to hear about that later in the show.
Yeah, I hear that's pretty cool.
So, Dave, as you know, this past weekend was Memorial Day. Did you do anything exciting?
If the beach is exciting.
Cool, went to the beach. I wish I had a beach to go to.
Well, technically it was a lousy beach day, but I can't really say that.
So. Did it rain?
No, it rained all weekend, so everybody in San Diego is complaining about the rain, but...
Yeah, it rained here quite a bit.
It cleared up.
Must have been raining everywhere.
Yeah, I guess it's tornado time, too, in your zone, right? North of you.
Yeah, we've gotten lots of tornadoes. I heard on the news this morning that there's been over 900 so far in the United States.
Yeah, they've unbelievable. All their records and stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I got to do a lot of gaming this weekend because we didn't go anywhere.
And the power didn't go out?
And the power didn't go. It went out once, but not while I was playing. So I'm playing Mask of the Betrayer, and I'm dead. My spirit bar went all the way down. You know, your spirit bar that you have in there. I'm dead. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to have to turn that off so I can continue playing.
I'd love to help you, but I have. I'm buying mine from Amazon.com. So.
I think Michelle was telling me how to turn it off, so I'll probably do that when I play next. I also got Half-Life 2 out because I have the orange box, you know?
Yeah.
I've been playing through it. That's actually pretty fun.
I did more time just reading about people playing.
Hey, I also downloaded Hunt Through the Dark, the module.
Yeah.
You know that we're recording some voices, going to be recording some voices for?
It was a pre-release version.
Yeah. Hey, and it was funny. I loaded it up and spent like 10, 15 minutes building my human monk.
I hear you.
And I go over there and I click through all the chests and I get all these kind of cool stuff, you know, in that little first room.
Yeah. Yeah.
You played through it, right?
Yeah. With a human.
and then I click on the mirror or whatever, the portal or whatever. Sorry, you must be a drow.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through that.
I didn't know that. I guess I probably should have known that if I'd have... Well, I don't know. Was there anything to read up on about it? I don't think there was.
Well, just because it's a pre-release version, but yeah, we really should have known. But you and I both, I think, just...
Did you do the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
With a monk.
Oh, yeah. That's weird. I got to redo my character for that before I can get into it. Anyway, that's what I did this weekend.
Yeah, did you mention that the reason you have that pre-release is the voice talent thing?
Right, yeah. We're going to get to do some voices for that, which I think is going to be cool.
Totally.
I listened to some of the ones you did out there as a test.
Yikes, yeah. They all right?
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good. So have you checked out the forums on the podcast lately? Hey,
is that a joke?
if you haven't checked out the forums, you gotta go check them out.
No, actually, don't check out the forums. The forums have nothing for you right now. Whatever you do, no need to click our forums.
Yeah, what Dave said. Hey, all the girls are putting together a gamer girl roundtable for the podcast. Oh my. And it's generated quite an exciting feedback out there in the forums.
Is that the right word? Feedback?
Is that the word?
I don't know
check
if I call
out.
That feedback. Maybe.
Anyway, we'll announce the date of that event. It's going to be pretty soon. I think they're talking about May 30th is when they're going to have that event. And of course, we'll record some of it. We probably won't be able to record all of it into the podcast, but we'll make a file available so everybody can hear it.
If you do end up going into the forums, bring earplugs.
So, hey, I also was cruising around. I found some other news. CEP-1 is still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to kind of revamp it or make sure it's running with the new 1.69 patch and keep it alive for those people that are still using CEP-1 and all those mods, so they'll still work with the new patch.
Yeah, I was cruising the vault, and they said, with the approval of the CEP team, the NWN35 project, a.k.a. Saint Marie, is that how you say that? Of the Bioware community boards, so they will be dusting it off and upgrading it for 1.69. So it says that it'll be a light version of the CEP, whatever that means.
I think that means it's not, it's a smaller download and less stuff in it, but still very useful.
Cool.
And the key being it'll still run on the new update, so all those old mods will still work.
Oh, excellent.
I think that's kind of the key.
I think that's a good project.
Hey, did you see the thing over there I was reading? Actually, it was on Warcry, and they had a press release from Wizard of the Coast, Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition.
Coming
soon. That?
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Actually, it's kind of funny. 4th Edition, they're pretty stoked because it's going to have a new online interactive bit with it, and where you actually can see the map and you can click on your, instead of having an avatar that runs around like in Neverwinter Nights, it'll be like a miniature that you can click on and move. So it kind of looks like you're playing at a table. And
oh, really?
The DM can adjust all that. There's actually a whole group of people that don't want to spend all the, or lose their investment on 3.5, and actually the grandfather of the Forgotten Realms has started a thing called Pathfinder, which is basically a revamped version of the 3.5 rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that'll be interesting how that community takes
that. All falls out?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're going to be releasing this 4th edition on June 7th, is what it says, 2008.
Yeah.
Global launch.
It'll be a big deal. Although having seen the whole thing, I'd rather do the Neverwinter Nights bit. I really, I think if you want a DM, I think DMing is great. So do it in Neverwinter Nights. But hey, I'm biased. I belong to the podcast of Neverwinter Nights. But, and love it. It's a great game!
Hey, some website updates. If you go and look on the front page of the website now, we have categorized all of the podcasts into categories.
I've been trying to do a little bit of that, and man, you must have just...
I have knocked it out this weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I mean,
it rained
like
quite a bit,
or two,
so we didn't have anything else to do.
Didn't have the yard work, huh? No, I was sitting there going, man, like I added one or two every now and then. I'm like, oh, geez, misspelling modeling once or twice. It's like...
I actually changed modeling. It doesn't exist anymore. I actually changed it to what I
content
module developers or something like that, or content creators.
Yeah, much better. Much better.
I tried not to get too many categories, and some of them will be categorized into more than one, so you can, because I thought they fit into more than one sometimes. Anyway, check that out. Hopefully you'll be able to find episodes easier now.
Well, and then another thing I had started doing, but I had only done one, I go, I don't know if we should do this, but that stats page, and then you knocked that out too. That's awesome. Trey linked all the episodes in our stats page to the actual episode, so you can listen to it and find it that way too.
And we're, if you see the total, we're nearing 100,000 downloads, which I think that's awesome. Probably in May, possibly May, maybe June, we'll go over 100,000. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so find an episode you haven't heard before and click on it.
Yeah, they're all there on one page now, on the stats page. And now Michelle brings us another awesome interview, this time with Frank Perez.
Hi, everyone. Tonight we have Frank, a.k.a. Alysius. Frank is the author and creator of Battle of the Builds, version 1.17, Vampire Hack Pack, and Power Builds of the Arena. In addition to these already released downloads on the Vault, Frank is working on a new module called Faithless. Hi, Frank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Oh, it's not actually tonight, is it? It's tomorrow for you. You're a day ahead.
Yes, it's actually 11 a.m. for me right now.
And it's 10 p.m. for me, so... It worked out, though.
Yes, it worked out very well. I think probably better on my end.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm a late nighter. It's good.
All right.
Would you like to tell the community a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Well, as you mentioned, my real name is Frank Perez, a.k.a. Alysius. I'm from the Philippines, where the people are warm and the climate is warmer, especially nowadays. I'm actually a graduate student in information technology, which is a fancy way of saying that I'm unemployed. I'm happily married, and I'm the father of a very handsome and delightfully naughty little boy.
Which I think, isn't that him that you have on your avatar on the Bouncy Rock forums?
Yes, that's him.
Yes.
The little
gorgeous
kid is,
little boy. He is. He's adorable.
Yes, that he is.
What kind of history do you have with module building, and when did it start?
Well, it started way before computers became popular desktop accessories, back in the 80s when I was introduced to AD&D. And from then, I graduated on to making modules for other game systems, such as Call of Cthulhu and Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, I love
but
that.
Yes. I like the darker adventure games. But I didn't actually start building modules for CRPGs until Neverwinter Nights 1 came around. And when it came out, there was a lot of time that I spent just tinkering around with the tool set, trying to figure out how to make a module. When I finally did figure it out, I didn't really post that many modules. In fact, I posted, I think, only two modules at the Neverwinter Vault, both of which are forgettable. Yep, that's it.
What about Neverwinter Nights 2 appealed to your creative side?
Ah, well, like Neverwinter Nights 1, Neverwinter Nights 2 allows me to easily build computer or role-playing game modules, although Neverwinter Nights 1 allowed me to make it in less time than it takes for me to do it in NWN 2. Also, it gives me a chance to create my own AI routines for NPCs. That's something of a hobby of mine, actually. I don't like the artificial intelligence that comes packaged with both Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. So creating my own AI is a fun challenge for me. But mostly it allows me to tell interactive stories without having to gather people around the desk and look through a lot of books, roll a lot of dice. So, that's how we did it in the old days. So it's really a great tool for telling interactive stories.
I agree. How do you go about creating a story for a module?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked me that question, particularly since I don't think I have proven myself yet to the community as a story writer, since my most popular contribution to the Vault, Battle of the Builds, isn't an adventure module. However, as a story writer, I like to think that I don't suck, at the very least. Well, anyway, yes, I do have a process for creating stories. It's helpful to structure a story in terms of three acts, regardless of how long or how short the module is going to be. For example, you can initially structure it as three phrases. Act one, hero becomes aware of the problem and resolves to tackle it. Act two, hero attempts to solve the problem and meets up with a serious complication. Act three, someone or something gives the hero a chance to turn around the situation and resolve the conflict. Now, what I gave is just a basic formula that can apply to just about any story. So it's up to the writer to fill in the specifics of that outline. From there, I create an elaborate outline for the module that I make. In other words, I don't sit down and tinker with the tool set immediately. What I do is I tinker with my word processor to create the outline. For example, for Faithless, my next module, I wrote an 18-page outline, which is pretty detailed. It shows what scenes are going to be in the module, who are the main NPCs that will be appearing there, what are the kinds of situations, combat or role-playing, that the PCs will have to undergo. So that's it for creating the outline or the three-act structure.
I will have to say that your outline and your process is much more organized than mine.
A lot of people have different ways of going about module building or storytelling or story writing, rather, in general. Mine is the way it is because of the way I am, and other people prefer to go about it by just hacking away at their word processor or at the module, as the case may be. But I prefer to keep things organized. Anyway,
I did set up an outline, but really most of my story building just kind of came to me as I went. I had a direction. I had to get to that direction.
I guess that would work too if, assuming that you're working on the story all by yourself, mm-hmm. It becomes a lot more tricky when you actually have a team working on the same story.
Right.
Yes. I'd like to say something also about creating non-player characters.
Sure, go for it.
There are lots of things you can do to create characters, but there's only one tip that I read about somewhere that I found to be really excellent. If you can just follow this tip, I think that your story writing will improve considerably. Here's the tip. When you create your characters, create them so that you put them into situations that they would want to be in the least. That's
brilliant.
It. Yes.
Brilliant.
If you have a character that does not like to queue up in a line, send him queuing in a line that goes all the way to the other end of the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
That is, it's so brilliant. I like that.
It's a brilliant tip. And that has helped me in creating my NPCs for my next module, Faithless.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a book that I would like to recommend for anyone who is serious about storytelling or story writing. That's The Hero with 1,000 Faces by Joseph Campbell. It espouses a kind of formulaic structure for creating myths or stories, which might actually rankle some people, especially those who think that formulas are what all the evils of the Hollywood system of movie making are all about. But it's actually pretty good, and you can create good or bad stories using those formulas. I like to think that the story that I created for Faithless is actually pretty good, following the structure that Joseph Campbell outlined in The Hero with a Thousand Faces. So I'd highly recommend people to read that book if they ever get a chance.
Well, since you highly recommend it, I will make sure there is a link to information on that book when we release the show.
All right.
Okay. Let's start out by talking about what you've already released on the Vault thus far, going all the way from your vampire hack to Battle of the Builds. Would you like to share some information about those?
Yes. Let's start with a more recent one, Battle of the Builds.
Okay.
This is not an adventure module. It's actually a tool for testing characters against some of the best power builds ever created in Neverwinter Nights 2. You can find a lot of these power builds at the NWN2 wiki or at the Epic Character Builders Part 2 Guild, which is where I got all of the NPCs for Battle of the Builds. It features one-on-one duel, sort of like the video games Tekken or Mortal Kombat. And what I'm particularly proud about this module is that it has custom-made AI for all the NPCs. It's probably one of the few modules where the NPC spellcasters actually use metamagic feats, and it is probably the only module where NPC fighters attempt to disarm their enemies and pick up the weapons that their enemies drop. So I like to think that the AI is pretty clever. I have Power Builds of the Arena. This is a collection of player big files, which are actually PC versions of the NPCs that are featured in Battle of the Builds. This one I haven't updated since I initially released it. Mm-hmm. You were saying?
I just said it sounded neat.
Ah, yes, there are actually 30 player characters in that single download. But like I said, I haven't updated it recently because the number of downloads is pretty low compared to the effort that I had to put in to create the big files. I decided that there were better ways for me to use my time.
Building Faithless.
Yes, Building Faithless. Much better. And next I have the Vampire Hack Pack. Mm-hmm. This is Neverwinter Nights 1 Hack Pack, which features paper and pen vampires. In other words, the vampires that you can create with the Vampire Hack Pack are a lot more dangerous than anything that you would normally come up with in Neverwinter Nights 1. For example, if a vampire touches you with this touch attack, you will immediately be drained of 2 levels, and you will only get a fortitude save 24 hours after you've been touched.
Ouch.
If you live that long. Yes, that's right. And that fortitude save is to determine whether you eventually get back the levels that you were drained of, or if you lose them permanently. Permanently being until you get a restoration spell cast on you. Also, these vampires will flee from the smell of garlic. They will turn into gaseous form at will, bypassing locked doors or locked portcullises. They will return to their coffin when their hit points are down to 0 and then rise back in a few hours and will burn under the sun. So,
wow.
It's actually the set of scripts that I was offering in the Vampire Hack Pack. However, it does include 2 more files, one of which is a builder's manual in PDF format, and another is a short demo module. So if you get the Hack Pack, you also get a module that shows, or that demonstrates the features of the Hack Pack. The module is titled Vampire Kobolds from Outer Space.
Okay.
It's a very bad, very campy module, but It does showcase all the features of the Vampire Hack Pack. And besides, if I really had a good idea for a module, I wouldn't waste it on a short demo. I'd use it on a real module, something like the module that I'm working on right now, Faithless.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no qualms about coming up with a really bad story, a Roger Corman movie.
Ah.
But yes. And however, probably because of that, or maybe because I didn't market my Vampire Hack Pack strongly enough, I only got a few downloads. I recently checked how many downloads I got, and I don't think it rose much since the last time I checked, which was several years ago. I think there are about 600 or so downloads as of this moment.
I think some hacks and models and stuff are really taste specific, and although I'm sure the ones who did download it appreciate it greatly, it's not going to be one of those everybody goes and downloads it kind of thing.
Yeah, I got an average vote of 9.5.
Well, hey, from, there you go.
From two people, both of whom voted 9.5. But that's not the least popular offering that I have at the vault. The least popular offering that I have is something called the trace debugging technique, which allows scripters to do trace debugging in their modules. Needless to say, this is a very niche market. I think I got something like an average score of 10 from one person. And very few downloads.
Well,
but that,
like you said, it's probably a little niche thing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's appreciated by whomever did use it. Speaking of Faithless, since it's been brought up a couple of times, this is your current project. Would you like to share what the story is going to be a little bit about? What kind of game style?
Yes. Faithless is a Forgotten Realms adventure. That continues the story of Kaelin's crusade against the Wall of the Faithless. This is set about 2 years after the end of MOTB.
Oh, fantastic. So, I can't wait.
Yes. So it's set at around 1376 to 1378 DR, somewhere thereabouts. So the story is going to be steeped in the lore of the Forgotten Realms, but it does not require knowledge of the realms to enjoy. And it will involve new player characters that you create. In other words, this won't feature the Knight Captain of Crossroad Keep, because the starting level is going to be lower. There will I'm not planning to have level 30 characters start out the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be played as a solo adventure or for up to 4 players.
Oh, great.
Yes. Players may go adventuring with the NPC companions that I will be providing in the module, or they may create their own companions using Alan C9's Universal Companion Database. At least that's my intention. I have yet to see that mod that Alan C9 created, but I'm hoping that I can incorporate it into Faithless. And there will be a lot of combat encounters that will scale according to the difficulty level that players set for Neverwinter Nights 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have to emphasize that because a lot of players complain that even at the hardest difficulty setting, the game is easy.
Oh my gosh. What?
So,
I don't
so
agree.
Oh, you don't agree?
No. But yeah, hey, I'm not a hardcore gamer, so. I mean, I go in, I enjoy myself, I have fun, and there are times where I put the easy setting on because it gets too hard.
I understand, actually. In fact, what I want to emphasize here is that Faithless is about giving the players choices. If mm-hmm. if a player wants to go adventuring with the companions that I provide, then the player may do so. If the player prefers to create their own companions, they may do that as well.
That's if they fabulous.
If they want to have challenging encounters, they can crank up the difficulty to at least D&D hardcore. Mm-hmm. But if they want to appreciate the story without having to be too challenged with combat, then they can set it at the normal setting, which is probably going to be equivalent to the setting of MOTB. If that gets too difficult, they can lower the setting to easy, and the encounters will scale accordingly.
Wonderful. I'm sure that will appeal to the masses.
Yes, unlike Battle of the Builds, which is something of a, which appeals to a niche market, I would like to reach a wider audience with Faithless. In fact, when I first proposed Faithless, or at least the story of, the story concept for Faithless, a lot of people immediately chimed in saying that they would love to play this kind of game. And so that's what got me creating this module.
Well, I'll have to agree with him. It sounds like it's going to be a very fun game.
I hope so.
I'll be downloading it. Of course, you know, I'm known for playing just a ridiculous amount of modules. I love them. I absolutely love them. I love all the modders. I thank them so much for all the wonderful free gaming they give me.
Yes, to be honest, I also had some difficulties in trying to promote this module initially, mm-hmm. because although the story that I proposed actually appealed to a lot of people, the gameplay that I originally proposed did not. I said initially that the gameplay would be Diablo style.
Oh yeah.
In other words, lots of combat encounters, a mind-numbing number of combat encounters actually, nonstop, until you get to your resting point at the very least, and lots of item drops. What happened when I announced that was that, the responses were less than enthusiastic, to say the least. Just to give you an idea.
I remember reading it on the BioWare forums, yes.
Yes. Just to give you an idea for those, or just to give other listeners an idea for those who haven't seen the, or haven't read the forum. One person said, after I announced that I was going to make it Diablo style, he said, "Good to know. I will stay far, far away from that module. A hack and slash game is either just tedious or frustrating. It's never fun in my opinion."
I agree.
Yeah, all right, so that's another vote in favor of something that's not hack and slash.
Yes. I love well-rounded modules that have everything in them.
All right, well, here's some good news. I've done away with the Diablo concept due to popular demand. And also what helped me steer the concept away from Diablo was that I got some help with the story. Initially, when someone asked if I was going to allow romance options with Kaylin the Dove, I answered that I'm not really very good at romance. I don't feel comfortable writing romance options, and I just might make a mistake of it. So Melirinda, who is famous for her, Bishop's romance, pitched in saying that she was willing to help write the romance for Kaylin.
Oh, that's exciting! Fabulous.
That's great. I mean, Bishop's Romance is the number one module in the Neverwinter Vault thus far. So having Melirinda write the romance options for Kaylin is like saying it's like having Mario Puzo offering to make to write your module for you. <It's>, as far as I'm concerned.
She did a fabulous job with Bishop's Romance. I did play the OC again for that sole purpose.
A lot of people did. So I had to write the outline for a detailed outline for my story, which eventually became an 18-page outline. I sent it to Melirinda, and then she sent back her comments, which were basically to tone down the number of combat encounters and to add more role-playing options. And because of that, I followed her advice, and now it looks more like a like the kind of role-playing game that you might find from BioWare and Obsidian, with lots of role-playing encounters here and there, not a whole lot like in Diablo. So I'm hoping that by backtracking on my earlier announcement, I might be able to reach a wider audience.
I would say you definitely will.
I just wanted to say that I got an additional help. I have a new member of the team. Name is Korugan, who is helping me with the side quests and the convos. So at least with both Melirinda and Korugath helping me with the story, I can concentrate on some of the other aspects of module building with which I am more comfortable, such as scripting and creating the NPCs.
Well, I'm moving down to, will you be adding any custom content into your module?
Yes, definitely. I'm not entirely sure yet which ones, but I am sure of one, which is Nilar's Cloud of Bats mod. Mm-hmm. It's basically a VFX file that shows a lot of bats whirling around like in a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name Bats. And I already mentioned earlier that I'm planning to use Alan C9's Universal Companion Database.
Right.
There's a lot more custom content that looks very interesting, but I do have a criterion for using the custom content, and that is if I can put it in a hack pack, then there's no problem with me using it.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, I have to put files in the override folder, I'm going to have to think twice about that, because sometimes it's the overrides that tend to make a game dodgy in for other modules.
Right. What is your favorite and least favorite processes of modding?
Ah. Well, let me go to the least favorite aspect first.
Okay.
The least favorite aspect for me is building exterior areas, because it takes so long for me to do it, and I'm not really that good at building exterior areas. I like to think that I don't suck at them, but at the areas. But still, it's an extremely time-consuming process, one that I don't particularly enjoy. Unlike scripting, which is also a time-consuming process, but that one at least I enjoy. So hands down, that is my the least favorite aspect of module building for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two processes that I particularly enjoy when building a module. One is scripting and creating AI routines. Well, scripting in general, but scripting AI routines in particular is very enjoyable for me. I like making the NPCs as realistic as possible in terms of the way they react in combat and how they act. Even when they're not in combat, I once tried creating a mod that featured, what do you call it, ambient AI. Something
mm-hmm.
like what Obsidian. There's this other game, Oblivion, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Oblivion had. Yes, so I once tried creating that, but unfortunately, my computer crashed, my files got erased, and I didn't have the heart to continue that game anymore. And the other aspect that I enjoy is developing the story. I like to think that I'm competent at writing a story. In fact, before Neverwinter Nights came along, I used to write short stories as a hobby, none of which were in a fantasy setting, actually. They were all fairly realistic, fairly gritty. But whenever Winter Nights came along, that gave me an opportunity to make interactive stories in a fantasy setting. Mm-hmm. So now I'm taking that opportunity.
I ask almost all of the modders this. Do you ever get a chance to play any modules yourself?
To be honest, not much. I helped Azan create his top-rated module, or rather, I helped him playtest his top-rated module, which is Asphyxia.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I haven't actually played any Neverwinter Nights 2 modules from the vault. I used to do that for Neverwinter Nights 1, but ever since I got into module building for Neverwinter Nights 2, I was so engrossed with that particular activity that I haven't really had a chance to play games much. That includes not only Neverwinter Nights modules, but also a whole lot of other games. I have a backlog of highly rated games here in my house that I have yet to play, like BioShock. That's a top rated game, but I have yet to play that. And Battle for Middle Earth. That's been around for some time, but thanks to Neverwinter Nights 2, I have yet to play that as well.
It's like an accusation. Thanks a lot.
Well,
I think you are in a very large club of modders who never get a chance to play anything else.
That's right.
What other modules have you thought of doing?
I've had several ideas, some of which are bad and some of which are quite good. I once thought of making a module based on a movie directed by Akira Kurosawa. However, this is a bad concept. It's patterned after Seven Samurai. I don't know if you've heard of that. If you haven't, then maybe you might have heard of a lot of other movies that were based on the Seven Samurai story. Probably the more popular one being The Magnificent Seven.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yes. Well, the concept is there's a village of halflings that are being raided by goblins, and the halflings, not being able to fight a well-armed bunch of goblins, hire mercenaries to help them. Except that the mercenaries, all the NPCs and the PCs included, are dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
So the natural title for the module would be Seven Dwarves. Nevertheless, after thinking about it for a bit, I realized that this module would never fly. So, on to my next idea. I also thought of making a Neverwinter Nights version of a bad TSR Ravenloft module called Ravenloft 2, The House on Griffon Hill. I like the concept of trying to improve something that is as bad as Ravenloft 2, because it really had a lot of potential going for it. Unfortunately, because of deadlines and because of too many game designers working at the same time on the module, it was poorly executed. Nevertheless, what I liked about it was that there was a very detailed roster of NPC townsfolk.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that it would be challenging for me to create AI routines for them. This is actually the module that I started, but which met an untimely demise when my computer crashed. So, that's the end of that story. And I also thought of making a module that will feature large-scale battles. In fact, I was thinking of making a Neverwinter Nights version of the entire Bloodstone War series that TSR released back in the days of AD&D. However, I figured that a role-playing war game might not be popular with the community, so I'm shelving that idea for now. I do have another idea that I feel is pretty good. This is a module that revolves around the PCs planning a heist, like sort of like The Italian Job, if you ever saw that movie.
Yes, I have.
Yes, it's a story involving big-time robbery, betrayal, and revenge. Now, that, I thought, would make for a very good module.
I think you might be right.
Yes, but that will have to wait until I'm done with Fateless. So, I'd say that at least half of my module ideas are bad, but I do manage to come up with some very good ones. And the thing about it is, I don't mind coming up with bad story ideas because for me, coming up with these ideas is very easy. It's all part of the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
I come up with a lot of ideas, maybe half of them or more are bad, but I'm still left with a lot of good ones.
You as a modder, is there anything that you would like to see more of with the Neverwinter Nights community?
Yes, definitely. I've been lobbying for some time for rideable creatures. They were actually created in Neverwinter Nights 1.
Yes.
Albeit a bit awkwardly. But it would be great if we could have some rideable creatures, and I'm hoping that that in the next expansion, Obsidian is going to release those for the community to play with. Also, if we can't get rideable creatures, I would like to see flying dragons and other creatures that attack while flying. Those are very rare. In fact, for Neverwinter Nights 2, I don't think there are any at all, except maybe for bats and stuff, but those don't count.
Right.
It would be cool to actually have dragons that attack while flying. That if I were a dragon, that's how I'd do it. I'd keep away from all those magic swords, attack my enemies with breath weapons, and until the only ones left are the epic characters, because they made their saves. And then that's the only time that I'd land and go toe-to-toe with them. It's too bad that we don't have flying creatures of that sort that can attack while flying.
I agree. It would be really nice to see something swooping down and going in for the kill. That would be quite more of a dramatic effect. And, well, as far as mythical creatures and mystical creatures and stuff goes, it's more real.
Yes, we already had the dungeons, and if only they can enhance the dragons, then I'd be a very happy player.
And builder,
that's right.
Is there anything else you'd like to add tonight?
No, not really, other than to say that I'm really grateful to, well, first of all, to BioWare for creating Neverwinter Nights 1, giving the community an opportunity to make computer role-playing modules, and to Obsidian for taking up the or taking over the task that BioWare started and giving us Neverwinter Nights 2.
Well said. I agree. And I would like to thank you for coming tonight, tomorrow.
And I'd like to thank you also for inviting me to the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
It was my pleasure.
And we're back. Right? We're back?
Yeah, we're back. That was a pretty good interview. Michelle.
Yeah.
Michelle does these interviews pretty good, doesn't she?
She's pretty good at it. I think that's why she's our interviewer.
You need to do another interview. You've only done one.
I actually got a couple things lined up, so
okay, cool.
Get my recorder working right.
I'm trying to line up the CEP group Barry Ebersole. That's the one I'm going to try to do next.
Yeah, he's probably really busy trying to keep everything on top of the 1.69.
Well, he told me right before they released it that he had talked to the group team and they wanted to do one, so I need to get back with him.
Yeah, we need to go. Speaking of Barry, go into Anacolia.
Speaking of Anacolia,
hey,
that's what we're gonna have for next week.
There you go. That DM roundtable we did, right?
Yeah, like on May 3rd, we did all the dungeon masters from the realms of Anacolia got together and did a roundtable. I think there were seven of them. We have like a two-hour file of that recording, so we won't be able to put all of that in the podcast next week. But we're going to pick the juicy parts, the good parts, and we'll put them in the podcast for next week. And then we'll also post the full-length file in the forums so that you can go listen to it if you want to hear the whole thing. So that's it. Until next week.
Get in game.
And level up. Level up.
You can always reach us via our website at NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com or by email at show@NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.
Now Michelle brings us another awesome interview, this time with Frank.
This time with Frank, you know. It's Frank Perez. But I know it's tradition and an honor to have Trey do something to your name, but that's Frank. That's a common name in most...